Las Vegas for Mountain West semifinal number two. It features the Colorado State Rams taking on the New Mexico Lobos.
Right now, this is a hectic pace.
Which is exactly what New Mexico wants as Jamal Mashburn Jr. makes it 11 to nothing. 8-2 in bench points in favor of Colorado State. House.
What a move.
And a dish to Amsil. Three assists early for Jalen House. Amsil locates Mashburn. Extra pass. So work it around to Baker. Yes.
He can shoot. One of the oldest guys in college basketball.
Five blocks in this game for New Mexico. They lead the Mountain West in blocks, and they also lead them in steals. Another one right there. Dent with the left hand.
Wow, what a great finish.
Hanging in, House over the top in. Off glass for two.
That was the most aggressive thing I've seen him do in this game so far.
How about Jalen House tonight? 24 minutes, six assists, and no turnovers.
And he plays it about 100 miles an hour.
Amsil for three is good.
He's gotten hung up in the air in a couple of possessions tonight.
Baker for three.
Clifford's the four man now.
Amsil from the outside, yes. Wow. His second three. New Mexico back in the Mountain West Championship game.
There isn't necessarily offense, defense, special teams in basketball the way there is in football, but if there is, we would have given that to Jalen House over the course of the Mountain West tournament. Scoring, stealing, dishing the ball around, kissing to the camera, giving it right back to that Utah State fan in the hat who may or may not have been the Utah State fan, keeping the good vibes rolling all the way to Memphis tomorrow afternoon. It's hour number three, Team Talk, ESPN Radio 101.7. The team, Sam Hauser, hanging out with you for one more hour. Appreciate you doing the same with us here. Glad we can be a little part of your night again. We're going to keep the basketball going for you here in about an hour. Go up to Ball Arena. The Nuggets taking on the New York Knicks tonight. Nuggets getting that huge road win at Minnesota on Tuesday night. Now solo second in the West. Half a game behind Oklahoma City for first place in the Western Conference. So they could jump the Thunder here potentially as we go through the rest of tonight. But as we look at this game tomorrow, again, this is always tricky because we can only go off of so much information from having not watched very much Clemson basketball, if any, over the course of the season. And when we talk about these games, this is always coming from a place of how can the Lobos get it done? In this case, now that it's NCAA tournament time, how can they keep on going? But over a course of a season, you know, you don't necessarily expect the Lobos to win every game, but you're trying to get to a place of if they are going to, what's it going to look like? How are they going to keep this thing going? And we're seeing a lot of teams pick up where they left off, especially looking at the Mountain West. We're seeing teams pick up where they left off in their last games, where you look at Colorado State, and yes, they did get a win against Virginia. Even though it was in the play-in round, it still counts towards the financial units that the Mountain West will share when this is all said and done, and they still got the win, but it wasn't exactly eye-catching offensive basketball for them that night against Virginia. They just didn't have to do anything because Virginia looked like children out there trying to play basketball against grown men. They get that win, and we're seeing now again against Texas. I mean, they're doing a little bit better here now in the second half. It's 31-17 down against Texas. We're at the under-16 media timeout, but 11 points in the first half of this one, and it was a carryover from what we saw in their last game, playing some of the highlights there from the Mountain West semifinal against the Lobos. They couldn't buy a bucket that night. No consistency, no rhythm for that team. Isaiah Stevens, really a non-factor in that game. And Isaiah Stevens, non-factor against Virginia, and really not giving them much of anything tonight either. He's got 5 points on 2 of 10 shooting. So you're seeing that carryover from their last game. Boise State, their last game, the quarterfinal against the Lobos, a game where Boise State's trying to play muscle ball. They know they're the more physical team. They know that they can push teams around, but couldn't make shots. Had no offensive rhythm. It was like 5 guys out there trying to play individual basketball, and not that they were selfish, but there was just no team connectivity for Boise State. Couldn't make shots against the Lobos, and I don't even know what that was last night against the Colorado Buffaloes. And there's been even more around this tournament so far that you can point to. I mean, Nevada, same thing, slow start for them. Not all that different from their last game in the quarters against Colorado State. So now you got Clemson stumbling and bumbling and tripping over their own 2 feet into this one. Losers of 3 of their last 4. 1 and done in the ACC tournament. They've been off for 9 days, which I do think is going to end up playing a factor in this one. And of course, the Lobos on this heater right now with the 4 wins in 4 days in the Mountain West tournament. Intangibles go a long way this time of year. How you handle being in these situations, being in these big arenas, being on the neutral floor, having these media availabilities, you know, looking out there and seeing the NCAA tournament logo, knowing that you made it and you want to go do something about it. There's so much more than strategy and X's and O's and the basketball stuff that goes into it this time of year. And the Lobos are on a heater. They're red hot. They're feeling good about themselves. Most importantly, that confidence is there. They put on a show in Las Vegas. They played to the best of their abilities, the best version of themselves. They got it out of one another. And they're going into this NCAA tournament game feeling good about themselves because they were able to carry it over from the regular season finale at Utah State into the Mountain West tournament, now trying to carry it over from the Mountain West tournament into the NCAA tournament tomorrow at FedEx Forum, home of the Memphis Grizzlies, looking to keep this whole thing going. I do think that that is going to play a factor, at least early on, where there could be an opportunity. If there was ever a time, for the Lobos to get off to one of those Kyle Shanahan offense-like starts that they got off to against Utah State, San Diego State, Nevada, where guys are popping shots, JT's making threes, guys are dunking, we're getting points from everywhere on the floor, because it's going to take Clemson a few minutes to get their legs under them. So we do this a lot, almost as a default. Oh, you know, the first 10 minutes are going to tell us something about this game. It's almost like just a thing to say. But 9 days is a long time to be off. There is that Goldilocks element of that where you can have too quick a turnaround, like maybe Colorado State going from Friday to Tuesday in the play-in round. You can have a long, long time off. Like Clemson, 1 and done in the ACC tournament, 9 days off. There can be too little break. There can be too much break. Again, that's why I started it off the same. This is all coming from a place of, we want to see the season go along. This is Homer talk. Of course it is. Of course, because what do we want? We want the Lobos to win, get NCAA tournament wins, keep this train rolling. You know, like Jalen House said, the train full steam ahead, the train barreling down the tracks, like he said in the post-game interview after they won the Mountain West Championship with Evan Washburn on CBS, trying to keep this whole thing going. And so you get off to a big start in this one before you let Clemson get their legs kind of back under themselves, then all of a sudden you're putting yourself in good position. But it almost is as simple when you look at this with the Lobos. It almost is as simple as if they play like they did in Vegas, no reason to think they won't win. They're a favorite for a reason because everybody knows what the ceiling is for this team. And Clemson picked the worst possible time to not be playing winning basketball. So, I mean, you start right there. But without knowing anything about Clemson and what they're going to do, you know, actually, in fact, on that front, Earlier today, we had the media availability time for the Lobos. We heard from Donovan Dent. We heard from Jamal Mashburn Jr. And we heard from Coach Richard Pitino. And he was asked about the Mountain West team most similar to Clemson, just to give these guys some kind of reference point.
Well, they had asked us, who do they remind you of in the league? And that we said Boise, maybe. You know, I mean, Clemson is a well-coached. P.J. Hall is as talented as it gets for a big guy. They've got good size and length. You know, so it's going to be a great challenge. So somewhat similar, but not exactly the same. But that was kind of the comparison we tried to give the guys.
And again, while we know very little about Clemson for the time being right now, Boise, okay, great. That's a great reference point to go off of for a lot of different reasons. If that's the comp to Clemson, then you kind of have a sense of what you need to do. You need to put your big boy pants on and play some physical basketball, especially with those two bigs that they have down low. They're going to throw some shoulders, and JT and Nelly going to try to throw that right back. And really, one thing Clemson has to be watching for, because, you know, as I go back, certainly there's the joyful element of going back and rewatching some of these big-time highlights and making these montages that we played for you all week this week, just to kind of bridge that gap between the Mountain West tournament and the NCAA tournament. Watching through some of these highlights, one of the things that really did stand out was JT Toppin was the cleanup man. If there was a missed shot and JT Toppin was around the rim, he was going to go get that one and put it back in. So, I mean, Clemson has to be aware of where he is at all times. I mean, certainly the Lobos are going to have to be aware of P.J. Hall and where he is and a lot of these guys, because Clemson can certainly put up points, but Clemson's going to have to be aware of JT Toppin and where he is at all times, because even if the Lobos miss the initial shot, I mean, just shame on Boise State, Colorado State, San Diego State, shame on you for seemingly forgetting about JT Toppin. And yeah, there was the soundbite in one of the montages we played earlier this week from Steve Lapis on the CBS telecast, where he's saying, you know, maybe pass the ball to JT Toppin every once in a while, which sure, but he had no problem getting his as the cleanup man and the putback man. So there was that element of it, but just watching back on that, you see some of the things that could potentially be trends. But getting back to Boise State and the Boise State of this, as maybe the closest comp the Lobos will see as far as something to give them something to go off of as they're mentally getting ready for Clemson tomorrow, Boise State is perfect in all this. You know, I mean, there might be other teams that you could potentially take a look at, but Boise's great. So let's just start right there with Boise State. And you look at the last two games the Lobos played against Boise State. Towards the end of the regular season, the Air Force loss, a whole week off, you get to Boise, you're feeling sorry about yourself, and it just wasn't good enough to go win a road Mountain West game. And then they turn it around and give it right back to Boise State in the Mountain West quarterfinals. While we're kind of learning little by little here about Clemson, and I don't think there's anything wrong with acknowledging that. In the same way that people on the West Coast, or in the East Coast, excuse me, aren't staying up to watch Mountain West basketball, ACC basketball, it's on a little bit early. You know, we got a talk show to do here. Excuse me if I'm not watching Clemson basketball, but as far as that Boise State point of reference goes, and why it's okay to kind of just look at this from the Lobo standpoint, one of the overarching themes in those two games, one of the big differences from a big picture 10,000-foot view, was in the regular season game, the road game at Boise, Lobos weren't playing on their front foot. They were not the aggressor. They ended up playing that game more to Boise's style and pace than they probably would have liked in hindsight if they had a chance to go do that one over again. It was very much a slow half-court game. Threes weren't falling for Jalen House, and we weren't seeing that guy that was crashing the glass and driving the lane like he did in the Mountain West tournament. He was trying to maybe pressing a little bit, trying to get one of those shots to fall, and it ended up being this half-court game, which is very rarely going to be advantageous for the Lobos. Mountain West quarterfinals comes around, and Lobos are absolutely playing on their front foot the whole game. They're pushing Boise back against the wall for 40 minutes. And yeah, there were times where the Broncos tried to make a little bit of a comeback, but that was also one of the check marks that you would check off on the box as a big, big point in the Lobos' favor. Is they, you know, one of the big storylines is the Lobos only trailed in the entire four games for what, about 7 minutes and change. But even as Boise State, Colorado State, not really not so much Colorado State, really mostly Boise State and San Diego State, as they're looking like they might be trying to mount these comebacks and cutting the deficit and making it a one-possession game, Lobos didn't panic, they didn't get stressed, they didn't start forcing shots to try to get that lead back up. They were so supremely confident in what they needed to do to get to a W that's why those games looked the way that they did, and why you heard me say a few minutes ago, intangibles matter. It's not this concrete thing that we can look at, we can point to on a box score or a stat sheet and say that needs to be better, that needs to be better. Those mind games that you can play with yourself, the intangibles, the mental fortitude, the team that has it and the team that doesn't can make all the difference in the world when you get to postseason basketball in March. And so that is something that at least for the time being would seem to be a massive advantage for the Lobos, the way that they're playing and the way that Clemson may be reeling a little bit from the way that they ended their season. And you know, maybe we did end up talking to their beat reporter yesterday from the Courier out there in Charleston, from the newspaper out there in Charleston, South Carolina, and they kind of knew going into the ACC tournament that they were going to be in the big dance anyway. So without, you know, maybe there's the element of they didn't maybe give it 100% because it wasn't going to make that much of a difference as far as their seed line goes. You know, clearly, case in point, they got a 6. So maybe there's a little bit of an element of that. But regardless, I mean, you want to have that forward momentum on your side when it is a single elimination, one and done. Now you're playing for your season. I would have to imagine that it's one of the reasons why, despite the fact that they are a pretty significant favorite. Like, I'm actually going to go and check here right now. According to ESPN Bet, San Diego State a 6.5-point favorite against UAB. But last couple of days, that's been kind of one of the trendy 12-5 upset picks. UAB playing some good ball. San Diego State, the way that Mountain West Championship game went, they're coming off of a loss. They had to sit on that. Yes, they do have the NCAA tournament experience, but I mean, you're grasping at anything that you can possibly find to give yourself that mental advantage here as we get in tournament time. Speaking of which, things starting to settle in here little by little. I mean, they have a lot of ground to make up, but Colorado State finally starting to get going here a little bit. Looks like, I don't know if we're at the under 12 media timeout or what. We're in commercial break, so it might be the under 12 media timeout, but 11:22 to go in regulation time. It's now down to a 10-point game, 37-27, Texas over Colorado State. The Rams with 11 measly, pitiful little points in the first half of this game. I mean, yeah, you're playing the conference that is believed to be one of the cream of the crop nominees in college basketball in the Big 12. I mean, that is the epitome of put on your big boy pants basketball. So it was going to be tough for any Mountain West team to try to play Texas in this particular scenario. But Colorado State with 11 points in the first half, fewest by any team in the first half of an NCAA tournament game since 2008. And still a ways to go here for Colorado State. But now, if you're Nico Medved, now you're telling these guys, 11 minutes to go, 10-point game. We got ourselves a basketball game here now, boys. Still got to start making some shots because that has been a problem for Colorado State. Even going back to the Mountain West tournament, they're 4 of 16 from 3. And this team can't afford to be that bad from 3. They only have they're only one of two at the line, and both those are from Joel Scott, because when it's postseason time for Colorado, apparently it's Joel Scott's time to step up and be the team leader. They were asking everything out of him. Again, he was the only scoring threat they had against the Lobos. They were giving him the ball over and over and over and over again early against Virginia. And Joel Scott with a tied with 3 points in this one. Isaiah Stevens and Neat Clifford with 7 each. No wiggle room here now for Colorado State. But they did get the one win against Virginia, which nobody could take away from them. And I had a feeling, but just to be safe, did confirm with our friend Kevin Lytle from the Fort Collins, Coloradoan, who covers CSU up there, that even though it was in the play-in round and there's different viewpoints about does that actually count, is that actually the NCAA tournament, we were asking the question earlier this week, does the NCAA tournament start on Tuesday or Thursday? Well, as far as the official financial elements of this are concerned, it did start on Tuesday because that does count towards the financial units, quote unquote, that everybody gets. It's this whole system that we learned a lot more about than we ever had before because of San Diego State's run to the national championship game last year. But every game you win in the NCAA tournament, there's a specific dollar amount, and they call them units for every one of them. There's dollar amounts attached to all of these, and it's all added up, and then it's all divvied among the teams in the Mountain West Conference. So one unit so far for the Mountain West, which, I mean, outside of San Diego State, is more than we can say in the last couple of years. And I mean, that is something I can understand. The people that feel like maybe the Mountain West was underseeded, as Coach Richard Pitino has said over and over again, just the fact that you got six teams in there, we got the six bid Mountain West. I mean, for goodness sake, the league had on the digital video board that's under the, you got the scores table on the side of the floor, and then on the other side from the table where you're looking at it from the floor, that is that digital video board. And for goodness sake, the Mountain West put up hashtag six bid Mountain West, trying to get that hashtag going during the Mountain West tournament. This has been a whole campaign for weeks and weeks now, and you finally got it. So at least there's that. But only one down so far for the Mountain West. Got that win. Boise State lost earlier last night, I should say. Boise State losing to Colorado in a game in which the Broncos missed more than 20 layups. In that one, you have Nevada blowing a 17-point lead inside the final quarter of that basketball game. A little over 7 minutes to go. Nevada up by 17. They lose to Dayton. So the Mountain West in danger of falling to 1-3 now in the NCAA tournament. And when you look at everybody outside of San Diego State, there's the whole thing of, you know, maybe the Mountain West was underseeded, but the Mountain West does need to show something here in this NCAA tournament as far as making the committee look good for giving them six teams in, as far as showing that this is a conference that actually can play on a national level, not the start that the conference was really hoping for to this point, because again, it wasn't exactly a glowing performance against Colorado State, even in the win over Virginia on Tuesday night. But still time to go in this one. You still got San Diego State, Utah State, and the Lobos playing tomorrow as we go through the day. The Lobos, or San Diego State, actually the first game of the day for the Mountain West tomorrow, 11:45 a.m. against UAB. That game in Spokane, Washington. Lobos in Clemson and Memphis just after 1 o'clock. Then as we go through the day, you got Utah State and TCU in a really tasty 8-9 game. Jamie Dixon and them boys, and Danny Sprinkle and them boys. TCU favored in that one over Utah State. It's Team Talk, ESPN Radio, 101.7 The Team. And then I'll tell you one that the nightcap tomorrow, I'm really curious about this one. St. Mary's and Grand Canyon is a 5-12. Those 5-12s always make you go, oh, something might happen here tonight. And Grand Canyon, remember they beat San Diego State on the home floor earlier this year? 29-4. Over the course of the season, they won the WAC Conference Tournament. taking on a St. Mary's team that is always such an enigma. I mean, they go and win at Gonzaga, then lose to Gonzaga on the home floor, then win the West Coast Conference. With St. Mary's and how slow they play, you never know, but that does feel like a dangerous team for them this year. But that's just a really intriguing game as the nightcap tomorrow night. But again, we're all focused on the Lobos, and one of the questions that Coach Pitino was asked, this one was particularly interesting to listen to. I mean, not that Coach Richard Pitino always delivers. His pressers are always fun listens, but this one was a little bit even more so unique because you have a lot of people in that media room that have never talked to him before, that may have never seen a Lobo basketball game before, that have just kind of an overview of this team and how good they can be and some of the accolades that they've gotten over the course of the season. So we get to listen to some of these questions from people who are talking to Coach Richard Pitino for the first time. And one of the questions that he was asked early on in his presser today was about how the Lobos have been able to be a team that is top 40 in the country in turnovers less than 10 a game while also playing at the tempo that they do.
Well, we shoot it so fast we don't turn the ball over. I think that has a lot to do with it, but I think, you know, for the most part, it's in the hands of guys who are good decision makers. You know, it's whether it's Dent, whether it's House, whether it's Mashburn, for the most part, they're not a high turnover type player, you know. So, and I think one of the reasons, underrated reasons why we play fast is we get a lot of steals, and those normally lead to breaks. You know, so more than anything, it's just making the right play offensively. And when you're playing essentially three point guards together, they're going to do that.
Yeah, Lobo's seventh in the nation in assist to turnover ratio, better than 4-1. Top 10 in tempo, according to KenPom, and top 40 in the country in turnovers per game at holding it just a touch inside single digits. But getting back to the whole conversation about the Mountain West, it's something for us to talk about. It's not something that these teams can worry about what everybody else is doing and how many of these six teams are going to get a win. And that was another point that Coach Richard Pitino made earlier today. Can't worry about the rest of these teams. Can't worry about trying to match what San Diego State did last year. His focus is on Clemson and nothing but Clemson. And, of course, you know, his team trying to beat Clemson.
Yeah, I'm not too concerned with saving the Mountain West. I'm more focused on New Mexico. You know, I think the Mountain West had a historic year to get six teams in the tournament. And I know people are talking about underseeded, this and that. Like, let's just remember they got six teams in, which is amazing. The theater throughout the year on television was phenomenal. The fans were amazing. So it's a great basketball conference. But for us, when we got here, and I know our local media probably sick of hearing it, we were 303 in the net. And we had to add eight players in year one off of Zooms. We were able to hit on two really good ones, and Jamal Mashburn Jr. and Jalen House. Sebastian Forsling's been an amazing member of the team as well. And then I think we did a great job in year two and year three of adding some young guys, adding some older pieces, and now we're sitting in the NCAA tournament. So see if we can take on a really good Clemson team. We know it'll be hard, but we try not to make it bigger than that.
And if you missed it, coming up next, we're going to hear a little bit more about these Tigers that the Lobos are going to see tomorrow. Earlier, we talked to John Blau, covers Clemson for the Post and Courier out there in South Carolina. That's the newspaper out there based out of Charleston. He covers Clemson, and he's going to tell us what we can expect on their side. Spent this whole first segment talking about what the Lobos are going to try to bring to the table, but there is another team that has specific pluses and minuses and things that you can try to exploit that we're going to find out about when we come back. It's Team Talk, ESPN Radio 101.7, The Team.